Well, are you ready for the word this morning? Would you help me welcome our pastor of discipleship, Pastor Brett Deal?
Thank you, Pastor Anidra. Hallelujah. I'm going to be doing that all through service. Make sure you're awake this morning. Amen. Don't think I won't. That's what I do to my kids when they need to wake up for school. I'm so excited to see you here. I'm excited to see you as well, or at least I'm excited that you get to see us worshiping. I'm glad that you're following the Lord and you're following in this opportunity to worship. I hope to see you soon. Hey, friends, thank you for letting me spend this time with you. Before we go any further, would you join with me in prayer? Really invite the Lord to speak in this time. Because you didn't come here to hear me speak. You came here to hear the word of the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this great and awesome privilege that we have. As your sons and daughters, we can come into the very throne room. Sometimes I think we lose focus on that. We lose sight of that reality. That in your death and resurrection, we have been brought near, restored. Oh, Father, I pray that today you would encourage the hearts of all hearing this word. Knit us together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, I pray this day that they would be your words and not mine, that I would decrease as you increase. Take your full glory in this time as we press near to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A few years ago, I took a couple of guys to Harlem to walk and pray around the city. We spent 3 days up and down the streets praying as we went, stopping and talking with people. Most days, our feet were pretty done by dinner. But on the last night, my friend Owen wanted to go to a prayer meeting. A well-known church was planting a new campus, and so back out we went, tired feet set towards Spanish Harlem. We had a great time connecting with the pastor and the group of men and women who had gathered there to pray. But to our surprise, we'd come on the night that they had decided to walk and pray around their community. My heart had difficulty convincing my feet to get off that comfortable couch. But as night set in, I watched as grandmothers sat in their windows, young professionals walked home. At one point, I inadvertently interrupted a drug deal to talk to a group of teenagers sitting on a stoop. I genuinely felt like I was in a Paul Simon song. I think I might have been scared, but we were together. I might have scared the church folk that I was with, but I was having such a great time. Aren't we supposed to be afraid of the dark? Aren't we supposed to hesitate in the unseen menace of the night? Sounds like take on a shadowy sense of foreboding. Raccoons become trash bandits, and cat's eyes become ring wraiths. At night, even the quiet somehow takes on an ominous intent. That night in Spanish Harlem, with a middle-aged Chinese woman on one side and an elderly white man on the other, surely we were a gang of the three least imposing people in New York City. And yet, we didn't hesitate. I felt like I wasn't walking alone. I didn't know the streets or where we were going, but they did. I think we learn hesitance when we're children. Have you ever watched a child waver? It's like watching the wheels begin to turn. Subconscious weights and measures moving back and forth and up and down. They see a toy or something, but the environment is different. It's not home. Something about the situation is giving them pause. Then here come running all the other kids. They run straight to it. They've grown accustomed to that swing set. That playground is family to them. And still that child hesitates. then something beautiful, something common and incredible, something magical and mundane, all at the same time happens. Another kid invites her to play. That simple invitation, that one moment of, "Hi, my name's Emma, want to play?" changes everything. Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, does that with his gospel. He came to his people, never hiding the painful parts of his life. And in his own special way, says, "Hi, my name's Matthew. Would you like to meet Jesus?" He tells us the stories we hear at Christmas time. Matthew tells us about Jesus' birth and the wise men who came to bring him gifts. Because that's what you do to meet a new king. For Matthew, from before Jesus' birth, he was the promised Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. From there, Matthew takes us on a ride filled with twists and turns, promises and challenges, mayhem and miracles. Matthew takes his time to tell us the stories Jesus told, the incredible things that Jesus did and said. Through the course of his story, we get to meet the men and women Jesus called to follow. Men like Peter, James, and John. Women like Mary, Salome, and Martha. As we read the Gospel of Matthew, events start to take on a sense of danger. And I'm not talking about some mild peril, some PG, even PG-13 version of the story. People start dying. John, who baptized Jesus, was beheaded. The religious leaders are putting more force into their threats, more venom into their accusations against Jesus. With all the contentious words of the powerful, Jesus' own mother and brothers begin to feel that stress. They try to rein Jesus in, to bring him home. They're just trying to keep him from getting killed. Matthew chapter 26 begins with the plot to murder Jesus. Wealthy and influential men gathered in back rooms scheming secretly how to kill him and assassinate his character. Not only Jesus, but they wanted to murder Lazarus, the man who'd been 4 days dead when Jesus raised him back to life. The tension is felt by everyone, especially those closest to Jesus. When we read these stories, sometimes we breeze past the fact that these are real men and women. They know that the closer they get to Jerusalem, the religious capital, the closer they move toward death, persecution, maybe just put it this way, unknown. Reading the words of Matthew, it feels like everyone else in these last chapters is pushed to the margins of the story. Every page is saturated with the disciples' emotions. Interwoven like roots of a tree are the frayed stories of Judas and Peter with Jesus' journey toward the cross. All the disciples are emotionally spent after celebrating the Passover. No sooner have they arrived in Gethsemane than they all fall asleep in the garden. In Jesus' greatest moment of need, they are softly snoring against the knobbly roots of the olive trees. In the garden, with his crucifixion of the cross on the horizon, Jesus walked alone. Let that sink deep for a moment. Jesus walked alone. He took it all on himself, all our sin and shame, all the guilt of our iniquity. Jesus walked alone. Betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, abandoned by Matthew, Jesus died on the cross. And of all his people, only a handful of them were there. Mostly mothers watching from a distance. Grief unimaginable, sorrow unspeakable, buried in a guarded tomb, the King of Kings. Can you imagine the burst of emotions when those women came to the tomb, heartbroken and grieving, to properly prepare his body for burial, when the earth began to shake and the stone fused to the tomb was torn away? The last eyes who saw Jesus exhale his last breath were the first to see him in his resurrection. The first evangelists weren't Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but Mary and Salome. Their hands that held their mouths in horror and peeled away tears just days before now embraced the living King of Kings and Lord of Lords. With all of this, read with me again, Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. The first evangelist had told them, 'Hey, Jesus is calling, and he's calling you here.' And so the 11 make their way, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Some doubted. The word there in the Greek, which is used twice in the book of Matthew, both times, is not so much a doubt of, is this Jesus, but of how do I relate in the situation. It's hesitancy. It's wavering. They saw him, and they worshiped, but they hesitated. Those amazing women, the first evangelists to carry the news of Jesus' resurrection, carried his call to his disciples. And surely some, like John, were ready to run, ready to sprint to Jesus' side. Others were more reticent. You can almost hear them saying, talking among themselves, encouraging the embarrassed brothers, "We walk together. We'll go together. No one walks alone." But why were they so hesitant? As they came worshiping, why were they crippled by conflicting emotions? R.T. France says it this way: "The last time these 11 disciples had seen Jesus was as they were running away from him in Gethsemane." So what sort of reception could they now expect from the master they had deserted? The conflicting instincts to worship the risen Jesus and to avoid a potential embarrassing encounter make very human sense in this context. We see them drawn to the good news of Jesus Christ and the rumors of his resurrection, but the shame of those final hours, their cowardice at his crucifixion, caused them to come with stumbling feet. How many of us came here today to worship, to meet with Jesus, because we need more of Jesus? Amen? But we carried in with us our shame and struggles, our burnt emotion, our fractured families. From one wounded follower of Jesus to another, hear these words: don't walk alone. Don't walk alone. Don't let the world isolate you. Don't let your pain drive you away from others. As disciples, human, fallible, broken disciples, no one walks alone. These disciples walk together. Today, if we know we need Jesus, but there's still that sense of hesitance to step out in faith, no, we do not walk alone. There are men and women here in this church, families ready to walk with you. And what was Jesus' response to these disciples who come worshiping and yet hesitantly stepping forward, sometimes maybe even with an arm pulling them up? As they made their way up the mountainside, Jesus came to them. Jesus proved in this moment that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the King of Glory, who steps down to walk with his people. Jesus lived out all the parables he had ever told in this moment. Jesus was like the father who ran to his prodigal son He was like the woman who rejoiced when she found her prized treasure. Jesus was like the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to restore the one. Jesus saw Peter heartbroken in his betrayal, and he calls him back. Jesus sees Jessica, the single mom, wanting to care for her kids and is carrying the weight of the world on her shoulders, and he says, "Let me carry that." And he calls to our hearts as his people, and he says, "No one walks alone. Jessica doesn't walk alone." Jesus sees Michael trying to balance all the voices shouting at him, working hard but still living at home, wondering how he will ever unbury himself from student loans and loneliness long enough to start a healthy relationship. And Jesus says, "Follow me." And he calls to us, "No one walks alone." Jesus sees the abuelita who is in her car, getting her grandkids to school, loving her family, but her heart hurts when she sees the pain across the generations. And to her, he says, "Mija, my arms are strong enough for you. I will carry you and your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. No one walks alone." Jesus came to them. He drew near to them. Here we see the God who walked alone to the cross, lifted up from our broken earth, drawing all people to himself. Today, together, let us hear Jesus' words to his apostles, to you and I, his disciples. Today, let us hear the word of our Emmanuel, our Jesus, the Christ, our God with us. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you, that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, today, Jesus is walking with Chun Tao, a middle-aged Asian woman in Spanish Harlem, saying to her, "Tell them about me. No one walks alone." Jesus is walking with Laura in Shady Hill, saying to her, "Embrace these people. Make disciples." Jesus is walking with Missachar in Diridawa, saying, "Care for these lepers, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No one walks alone." Jesus is walking with Lucien in Dakar, saying, "Teach them everything I've commanded you." Jesus is walking with Lydia in Monrovia, saying, "Rescue these girls from trafficking, for all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus is walking here among us. Hear him saying, "Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. No one walks alone." Beloved, you've come to meet with Jesus today. Amen? You've come to meet with Jesus. Some of you have come ready to run. Praise God. But some of us are here bruised, beaten, embarrassed. While we have this privilege of being gathered together, would we take this moment to be with one another, to pray with one another? Because here at this church, no one should feel like they walk alone. I want to respect your personal space and comfort, but what I would like for you to do is to turn to each other and ask one another, "Do you know Jesus? Would you like to meet Jesus today?" If you're in a situation like that, don't assume. Ask. Care enough to know with certainty. Do you know Jesus? Do you want to meet Jesus? Let me invite you to the throne of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he's here today. If you're already a follower of Jesus, ask your neighbor how you can be praying with them, how you can be lifting them up. Is there sickness in the family? Are there situations that are too heavy to bear? And they've been trying to carry it all on their own by themselves. Beloved, no one walks alone. If you're here with worries and concerns, share those with your brothers and sisters sitting next to you. Let's take this time. Let's walk together, worshiping Jesus, our God with us. Amen. So I'm going to allow this time of response. For those of you in this room, please begin to turn to each other in groups of two or three. Begin to talk. For those of you at home or in your car or wherever you might be listening to this, if you're alone, I'm praying for you. I'm praying with you. If you're there on the couch with family or you're riding in the car with a friend, take this time and have that real conversation. Hey, you don't walk alone. Friend, if you are alone, if you're carrying this weight and you say, I don't know, we are here at Cornerstone and we're ready to be with you. You don't have to be perfect to come here. The disciples weren't perfect, but they came together up the mountain. If you're in the house, please begin to pray. Don't let me interrupt you. But my heart is turned towards you, sitting there. Jesus loves you, and he's calling to you. He sees the weight that you're carrying, and he's reminding you today, hey, all authority under heaven and earth has been given to me. There is nothing too great that I cannot speak power into. And I have established you in a place where there are men and women ready to embrace you. I'm going to pray with you now as these brothers and sisters pray together in this room. Oh, Father, thank you for seeing us in our brokenness. Thank you for seeing us in our crippledness. Thank you for loving in us enough to reach out to us. Oh, Jesus, for that brother who is carrying grief like a cloak. Oh, Jesus, I pray that right now as we pray, he would just begin to feel how he can lift that off and give it to you. Lord, for that single mom who feels like she has frayed at every edge, snapping at her children more often than she would care to admit. Oh, Jesus, let her know that here in this space, we are lifting her up in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we know it's not an easy call, but we want to be all in. We want to live this truth that no one walks alone. And so, Lord, we pray in this time that you would show us where those relationships are. Lord, I pray for that family sitting on the couch right now. Lord, guide them into those real conversations. Those conversations that start out difficult but end in happy tears. Oh, Lord, we are your people, the work of your hand. Guide our conversations. Guide our prayer. Show us how to intercede for one another. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just take this time. Beloved, let's begin to close this time together. I'd like to invite you to stand with me. Father, thank you so much for what you are doing in this room. Lord, what a joy to my heart to see groups of people praying together, speaking in earnest with one another. And so, Lord, I pray over your congregation. Lord, oh God, do what only you can do. Lord, see us in our isolation. Put your arm around us and draw us into community, into relationships with one another, because no one walks alone. And so, Lord, I pray over your people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, have a wonderful week. I love you, and God loves you so much more.